perfected.
So the more I obey God, the more things are going to be added to my spirit, the stronger my love walk is going to be. The greater my desire is going to be for God. Amen. Everybody say, I delight to do the will of God. Oh God. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Psalm 25, turn over there real quick. Psalms 25. Listen to this right here. Boy, I wish we had time to read the whole thing. Verse 4 says this, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Hallelujah. And then Psalm 40, we have them quoting Jesus. These actually are the words of Christ. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to get to a place, if you want to be perfected in love, you have to get to a place where you literally love the word of God, where you begin to pray prayers like that, and you begin to ask God, Lord, order my steps in your word. Hallelujah. Teach me to obey your word. Teach me to do your will. You got to have that working in you. And when that's working in you, I'm going to tell you, you're on your way to being perfected in love. I mean, having things added that's missing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the love of God in and of itself is complete, but sometimes we are what we have missing is our understanding of how to apply it and how to use it, because the love of God is in us. That's what I mean by that. Just wanted to clarify that. The love of God ain't nothing missing in it. It's our understanding, our ability to understand how to live in it and walk in it and to trust in it is what's missing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You trust in the love of God? Do you, when you have an option, a choice, to go love's route or to go the flesh route, do you lean toward love? Even though love may seem like you're losing, that's why you got to trust. I'm not going to lose walking in love. Glory to God. The NIV says this, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. He said, this is one of the ways that we know him. Because when we obey his word, his love, something starts happening in your love walk. Turn over to John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Lord, work in me. Hallelujah. I desire and I delight to do your will. Hallelujah. All right, look at John 14. Look at let's go back up to verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Sound like doing the word, right? He it is that what? Loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be what? Loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Manifest myself to him. So Jesus said, if you keep my word, I'm going to reveal myself to you. In other words, you'll be seeing Jesus when nobody else can see him. Everybody, where he at? What do he look like? Show him to me. No, you can't see him with natural eyes. People want to see in the flesh. No, your spiritual eyes get open. He begins to reveal himself, make himself known to you when you obey his word. And when he begins to make himself known to you, that means you start learning his ways. Right? If you hang out with me, you're going to know me, right? You're going to start learning about me. You'll start knowing how I do things. You'll start learning how I think, how I see things. You'll start learning my decision-making process. How does Pastor Greg make decisions? Well, you won't know that unless you've been hanging around me. You won't know what I like and dislike unless you've been with me. Somebody I never met before, I can't tell you nothing about them. But if I spend time with them, then I'm going to start learning some things about them, how they do things. And because this is Jesus talking here, he said, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to reveal myself to the person that keeps my word. In fact, it is not the lip service. It is not the lip service, I love you, that counts. How many know everybody on Sunday morning say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh. How I love Jesus. Oh. Because he first loved me. They mind a bit more on Jesus. They mind ain't nowhere on Jesus. They thinking about fishing. They think about hunting. They thinking about the football game. It's, you know, the Saints gonna be on at 1 o'clock. Who pastor don't take us into the first quarter? I wanted to see the player introductions. What are you going to get out of that? Jesus said, if you love me. Now, we're giving you Jesus' definition of love. He said, if you want to show your love for me, obey me. That's how I know you love me, by your obedience. It ain't by that, oh, how I love Jesus. That don't tell him nothing. He going to look at how you live. And how much desire you have to do what he wants you to do. And that's how he determines your love. Every time I tell the Lord, I'm going to say most of the time, when I say, Jesus, I love you, I check myself. Have I been doing the word? Have I been walking in obedience? And if I haven't been doing good, I say, Jesus, I ain't been loving on you much. Help me. I got to get back. See, sometimes you lose your first love. See, this is what Jesus talking about, that church. They doing all these good things. I mean, they had it going on. You read Revelation chapter 3. They had it going on. He said, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You're not on fire for me like you used to be. You're doing, you got the programs, you got everything. But you don't love me like you used to love me. You used to stay up and read your Bible. You used to get up and pray when I told you. Now you tell me to wait till in the morning. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, said to him, see, he wanted to know, he said, how are you going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, said to him, if a man loved me, he said, if a man loved me, he would keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he said, when you start walking in perfected love, Jesus said, me and the Father, we come live with you. We come in to make our abode. We're coming to abide wherever you at. We're going to be with you wherever you at. If you show your love, you know, you got that thing. Everybody show your love for something. I'm going to tell you, if you show your love for Jesus, he come and stay. And when he's there, now he's going to be showing you what to do, how to do it. He'll be there when somebody shoot one of them fiery darts at you. He's there telling you how to handle that thing so that your love is perfected. So that your love is complete, so there's nothing missing in your love walk. Hallelujah. How many of y'all see that? The first key is doing what? Obeying the word, keeping that word, having a desire to obey God. Everybody say obedience. Shout it out. Obedience. That's one of the keys. I just gave you a scripture that told you that's how you perfect the love walk.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KQJOFM. We're 5 cities strong all day long. Lead it.
We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety
in
music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Put your Bibles on. Stand with me if you will. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. Luke chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. And it reads, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." Verse 31 says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about a deeper connection with Christ. A deeper connection with Christ. What an interesting story we have before us. It is, of course, on the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two men are walking down the Emmaus Road, recounting what has gone on over the last few days. And while walking and talking over the events of these several days, Jesus joins in with them. They didn't see where he came from. He just showed up. And as they're walking down the road, he's asking them, "What's going on?" And they say, "Are you just a stranger? Do you not know what has happened and what's going on?" And Jesus said, in essence, "No, tell me about it." And so if you'll look, Luke shares the conversation that they had going down the Emmaus Road. And when they share with Jesus the events of the Good Friday situation, how the Jews gave up Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and how he who knew no sin, did no sin, was killed in their eyes, certainly unjustly. And he told them that on the third day that he, Jesus, would rise again, but it appeared that that was not fully true. But there were some who witnessed that he had risen, not so much that they had seen him, but he wasn't where they placed him. And Jesus challenges their faith and calls them foolish and says, after they say, "And after all of that, this is the third day and he's supposed to be risen from the dead." The Bible says Jesus starts at the scripture where the prophets prophesied about him and began to explain all of those scriptures to them, opening them up, interpreting and bringing understanding to the fruitfulness of their understanding. It was getting dark, and so Jesus pretended that he was going to go on without them. But they asked him to join them for dinner. So we pick up at verse 30 here where the Bible says, "And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them." Now, here is how this goes. Jesus takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to them. Now, he's communing with them. And in this communion, they recognize there was something familiar about the presentation of the breaking of the bread. But they weren't sure because this man had a lot of similar features to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it couldn't have been Jesus because they saw him crucified. They saw him die. They saw him taken down off the cross and put in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. They knew then that the one they knew was dead, but that was an uncanny similarity to the way he did this breaking of the bread. And the Bible says when he gave it to them, verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. And their eyes were open. Now this word open comes from the Greek word dianyugo. Dianyugo. And this literally means to open not the eyes of the mind, but the eyes of the soul. This was a deeper revelation of knowledge that they had not ever experienced before. And when you understand, my brothers and sisters, if you desire to know the Lord better, that knowledge is going to come through, one, his word, and two, fellowship. See, you're going to have to spend some time with him. And they spent time with him, not fully knowing it was him, because the record is he held their eyes from recognizing him so that he could get out of them what they had in them and then reveal to them what he wanted to put into them in terms of their understanding. And so when he does this, he gives them a deeper revelation, thus a deeper connection than they've ever known before. And so now when the Bible says, and their eyes were open, not just the eyes of their mind, but a revelation so deep and passionate that they were excited about the revelation. My brothers and sisters, have you ever been excited about something you've been desiring to know, and then all of a sudden the revelation of that knowledge come and the light goes off, it clicks, it makes sense, it comes together, and there is an excitement about the knowledge. It's like, I got it. When Jesus broke the bread with them that they were familiar with, he revealed to them that he was the Christ, which meant that he was risen and he was alive. Listen at me. And so now they're excited about this now, because now they desired a deeper connection, a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation, and they received all of that while he talked with them going down the road of Emmaus. But they wondered how he knew all he knew, and it didn't make sense, because the record is in his days of teaching, when he taught those of the synagogue, they said he speaketh as one having authority. Never have we heard one speak like this man. All of this is playing back in their mind, and it makes sense because now they realize it's Jesus. But now, listen at this now. Not only are their eyes open, but the record says, and they knew him. Now listen to this now, because this is important. Their eyes were opened to a deeper level of understanding. See, you got some folk who know Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, but they've never experienced Jesus. They heard grandma talk about him and mama talk about him. They heard the preacher about him and the deacons pray about him. They heard the choir sing about him, but they've never had a personal relationship with Jesus. So really all they do is know of him. Most of them know him in the Greek word genosko. Genosko. That means no. That's from John 8 and 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They knew him in that sense. It's of the same sense of Genesis 4 and 1 when the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, comes from the Hebrew word yada, yada. It's an intimate and personal knowledge. It's like when a husband and a wife get married, and in the first year, he gets to know her. Stay with me for a minute. But he really doesn't know her. It's not until years pass by that he really gets to know her. And so that comes from the Greek word epigenosko. Epigenosko. Let me give you an illustration of it. One day I was at my grandmother's house, and I've shared this with our members before, and we were having breakfast, and my grandmother was a great cook, and my grandfather was a big man, and he loved to eat, and I loved to eat, and my grandmother had been stirring all around the kitchen all morning long, and she was one of them cooks that got up and cooked dinner before breakfast. I got any old saints in the house know what I'm talking about. And so she got up like 4 something in the morning, 5, and put on the dinner, and the dinner was slowly cooking. But by the time breakfast came, she started making breakfast. And so Big Daddy was sitting down eating, and we were eating, and my grandmother was still stirring around. And she finally got her plate and sat down, and Big Daddy said, Mary, reach me another biscuit. It was on the stove. And she looked at him and said to him, when I was standing up at the stove, why didn't you ask me for another biscuit? And Big Daddy was steady eating. And to make matters worse, he asks her what we having for dinner. And my grandmother said a few blessed words. And he said, Mary, reach me another biscuit. She said, wait a minute, O'Neill, you don't know me. And I said to myself, after all of these years, she was saying, you genosko me, but you don't epigenosko me. You don't really know me. Have I got a witness, somebody? So epigenosko means to really, really know, to have a deeper knowledge of the person or situation or subject. And so when the Bible says, and they knew him, they remembered that they knew him before, but now they know him like they've never known him before. A deeper connection with the Lord changes your perspective. A deeper connection with the Lord changes how you talk, how you walk, how you act, how you interact. A deeper connection with the Lord makes things better. And my brothers and sisters, when these men found out, discovered that they had a deeper connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as the man of God talked with us as they're walking down the road? Listen at this. And opened, here's that word again, unto us the scriptures. Listen, they knew him before as teacher, as master, as rabbi. But now they know him as master, as savior, as Christ, as Lord. The level of their knowledge of him now is so much greater than it has been ever before. You see, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know who he is, what he can do, and what he desires to do. You begin to tap into his power. See, the people who really know him really know what he can do and know that there is no secret to what he can do. What he's done for others, yes, he can do the same for you. If you really get to know him, you begin to know that he is Lord, and everything that he desires comes to pass. They were out on the water. He was sleeping on a pillow. The winds became boisterous, agitated and aggravated the water until they became raging and started flooding out the boat. They ran to Jesus and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus stands up, and when he stands up, he rebukes the wind and he speaks to the water. The water that was agitated and aggravated by the force of the wind. And when he spoke to the waters, it was as if the waters had been nurtured by Jesus Christ and laid down at the command of "Peace be still." And his disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" They got a touch of his lordship. They didn't know that before. They had seen him talk about and talk to things on earth and other things of human origin, but they had never seen the animation of the wind and waters obey him. And the more they got to know him, the more they saw how great thou art. My brothers and sisters, don't fool yourself. A deeper connection is what every believer needs. You're walking around here with issues and problems and things going on in your life, and the Bible makes clear that all of the things he's done in the New Testament, he did them then and he can do them now. When you get to know him, you know that he is one who has a word, and that word is sure. It's a tried word. It's a true word. It's a trusted word. And if you learn to trust his word, he can do whatever he desires to do in your life. A deeper connection is what every believer needs. Paul says that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, I want to epigenosco. I want to really get to know him deeper than I've ever known him before, because there's power in the name of Jesus. I wish I had a real church here today. I said there's power in the name of Jesus. And if demons tremble at the name of Jesus, it could be because they've got a deeper connection with him. They realize the power that's in that name. And my brothers and my sister, as I hurry to a close, let me say this to you, that you, R.W. Shambach said, if your problem is not bigger than the resurrection, you ain't got no problem. I,
I wish I had a helper in the house.